am recording the call. Mama, thank you for that vote, for that testimony, that small testimony you gave right now. In the story of Brother of the Ensenada Church, the pastor there was Brother Fitzgerald. He was a young man. Things changed in the future after that. But the point is, Dad would take us there on Saturdays to help build these works in Tijuana, Ensenada, San Luis Rio Colorado, which was a couple of hours south of Ensenada or so. And as I began to read this book, I began to tell Pastor Clark, Pastor Clark, we knew these men. We knew some of these churches. My family, my father helped build a lot of these efforts. So everyone, the point, simple point I'm trying to make is this. We are more closely connected to these stories than we think. Brother Victor has a connection to this, and now you all have a connection because you have a connection with me. We're all connected in this. That's the thought that permeated my mind as I began to think about all this. We are all connected in this, and I don't want anyone to think that they're kind of off in a corner. Oh, this is exciting for them. This is something. No, this is all of us. For everybody, okay. Sister Cindy, all of us are going to be included. Boy, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost just saying this. We are all going to be included in this great endeavor, in this great effort that the Lord is going to provide. Praise God in Jesus' name. So I'm going to end the orchestrating revival story on that note. And now I have to tell you something that just took place yesterday. I'm hurrying along because our goal is to get out onto the streets before 12. But there's a couple of important things that I need to share. Let's start with this. Okay, yesterday, everybody, something great took place yesterday. So here I was at the church waiting for the, I won't say the name of the company, the fire alarm company guy that came out, and he had to service our fire alarm. And he did that for almost an hour. This is what happened, everybody. I'm going to just share this, how it happened. I'm in the office signing his iPad with my finger, you know, the little digital signature. And as he's doing this, I began to feel something. And this is important. Sister Cindy knows about this because earlier in the morning, I heard something, and I almost ignored it. I'll get to that one in just a moment. But this has been happening in the last couple of weeks where Brother Vic is starting to hear voices. Is Brother Vic hearing voices? Let me explain that. I need to qualify that a little bit. It's not the bad voices. It's the good voices. Because it's that still, small, subtle, I feel the Holy Ghost just saying it right now. That still, small, subtle voice that sometimes we just push away, everybody. We think, oh, it's just me. It's just me. I'm just going to keep doing what I need to do. But wait a minute. I felt something. Sometimes it's something you hear in your mind and you feel it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you know, we're going to learn how to identify this because I really am beginning to see this, that God is going to begin to deal with us, speak to us as we move forward, everybody. And we need to be able to distinguish and identify, that's the Lord. Oh, wait, I got to stop in my tracks. What does God want me to do right now? What does God want me to say to this person? Cindy knows what I'm talking about. She was part of this yesterday. Okay, listen to what happens. So yesterday, there I am in the office, and I'm finishing the business with this service guy. Okay, and I'm signing away. And as I look over at him, everybody, this is going to sound a little crazy, but I thought, something about his wife. It entered into my mind, something about his wife. And I thought, my goodness, Vic, that's personal. Everyone listen to me. That's kind of personal, Vic. I'm not, boy, that's, I don't know anything about him. He's kind of a young guy, you know, just kind of short, stocky kind of a guy and real nice spirit about him, good personality, but I thought, I don't even know if he's married. He's kind of young. He's probably not even married, Vic. What are you thinking? But something was tugging at me about him and his wife and his family, and I let it go. I just let it go because it was just too much for me to swallow. Remember, this is kind of new what's been happening with Vic in recent times. And so I finished up my signature and finished the business. I had to get into my next order of business for the day. It's now about 5-ish, almost 5 p.m. We're walking out the front office door of the glass door of the offices. As he's walking out, I feel impressed. This is like a shove now. Impressed to say, you know what? I just want you to know, sir, that, Daniel, I want you to know that you have a real good spirit about you. You have a real good attitude about you. I just want to tell you that. As I said this, he was already turning the corner to walk away. He turns around and looks at me and he says, with a genuine big smile, thank you, sir. I really appreciate you telling me that. I mean that. I appreciate you saying that. That means a lot to me. Woo! When Brother Vic felt that, it wasn't what he said, it was what I felt in his spirit. See, God's trying to make us sensitive to the spirit of people. What's going on? Thank you, Jesus. And as he said that, thank you, sir, for that. I appreciate that. I stopped, and now I'm listening. Now Brother Vic is listening with his inner ears, that inner spiritual ear. Everybody know what I'm talking about? I'm going to... Okay, let me keep moving. Let me keep moving. Brother Vic's got too many thoughts going on in his head right now. But that's when I stop and I say, hey, there's something about him, his response. I said, Daniel, I really mean that. No, I know you mean that, and I felt that. And then it came. I feel something in you, Daniel. I feel some faith in you. Thank you for saying that, Victor, because look, I am a man of faith. I believe in God. And then I said, oh, tell me about that. Well, look, here's the reality. I'm Catholic, but I believe in God. Oh, I kind of felt that Cornelius spirit coming out of him. And he says, I'm Catholic. I was raised that way, but I'll be honest with you. There's things about the Catholic Church now that I'm beginning to realize that are not quite right. It's not real. There's some problems there, and I'm trying to just find. I'm looking. I'm seeking. Oh, that was enough for me. It was over. I said, hold on one second. I was going to be reaching out to Cindy for some other things that we're working on for today, but I just called her. And you were probably expecting, Cindy was probably expecting my call to talk about, yeah. Yes, we're going to go over the information for today's meeting. And I called her. She answers, hey, hello. So Sister Cindy, change of plans. Meet Daniel. He's a service guy for the fire alarm. He just finished talking to me about this. I want him to hear your voice. I want him to hear your faith. See, everybody, I want everyone to hear this. It's not about Brother Vic. It's not about the leader guy that talks a lot or talks real loud. The lady told me, Brother Vic, your voice sounds different today. You sound louder. Okay, I hope it's louder in a good way. But I want everyone to capture what I'm about to say. It's not about Brother Vic, who seems to be the guy in the lead here doing all this. No, it's about everybody. Everyone has a voice. And I wanted that young man to hear the faith in Sister Cindy's voice. She's a woman. She's, hey, men are not better than women. God will use whoever's willing and available. And he was able to hear her voice, hear her faith. And the young man responded. As Cindy went on a two or three minute mini testimony, which I'm not going to lie to you, some of the things she said was a little out there. I said, oh, there goes Cindy. You know what? You know what the young man says? The young man gets a big smile on his face. I'm watching him. He starts giggling and laughing. And when she stops talking, he says, you know what? This is really strange that you said the things that you said, Cindy, because I've been dealing with some things like that recently. Because he began to tell me, Daniel began to tell me that, tell us that he has another man who witnessed to him from Temecula, whose brother is a pastor. Daniel has been having a lot of issues in his life, in his family. We'll get to that in a minute. But since that happened a couple weeks ago, I guess he was baptized, he said he's been fighting. He's been trying to find God. He doesn't go to church right now, but he's just trying to fight through it. And he feels that the enemy is now coming and literally fighting him. The kind of talk that Cindy was giving to him a minute before that. So we identified with him. We connected with him. It was a powerful moment. Cindy said a few more words. We said a prayer on the phone, and we hung up. And that was that. But then, as Brother Vic had Daniel alone, we began to go into a little bit more detail. And then he said it. He said, you know, Victor, the guy that I've been talking to, he told me, Daniel, God is orchestrating something in your life. I said, okay, that's enough, Daniel. Come back in my office. I need to show you a book. He comes into the office, and I have him read the title of the book, Orchestrating Revival. And he looked at it. You should have seen the smile on his face. His eyes lit up. He got excited. He started getting teary-eyed. This is amazing. And then I got him my journal, because Brother Vic now journals like the ladies do. I'm not ashamed to say it. And I had him read that. Go ahead, Sister Alina. What does that say?
You want me to read the whole thing? Orchestrating revival. Orchestrate definition is arrange or direct the elements in a situation to produce a desired effect, especially surreptitiously.
Thank you, Sister Alina. And when the young man read the word surreptitiously, he did the same funny look that Sister Alina did last week. He said, surreptitiously, what is that? And I said, that means something that's done kind of secretly, kind of privately, kind of behind the scenes. God is doing something just like he's doing something in your life, Daniel. With all this COVID, with all the problems and situations in life, God is orchestrating something subtly, secretly, privately, just for you and your wife and your family. And when I said that, he looked at me and he says, Victor, the way you said that, it impacted me. I felt something when you said that. It wasn't Vic. It was the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Ghost that was talking to him and beginning to minister to him. And so when all that happened, then I mentioned the thing about his wife and his family. I said, I got to tell you something, Daniel. I felt something earlier for you about you and your wife. That's when his eyes got huge, big, and he began to open up, everybody. And I didn't think he'd open up that much. But basically, I said, Daniel, when we were here a moment ago, I almost talked to you about, I felt impressed to tell you something about you and your wife, but that probably would have freaked you out and you probably would have ran out of here. You know what he said? No, sir. Had you mentioned my wife here when we were here talking business, I would have opened up my heart and my ears and listened to you, because I am going through so many things with my wife right now. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but basically what he said is that he loves his wife. He's been married for 5 years, but there's been some issues where there's been arguments and there's been fighting. He doesn't understand why. There's a spiritual undertone here, and he doesn't understand why. And that just last night, Vic, I was talking to her, and we broke out an argument, and all of a sudden something came over me and said, stop. Stop it. And I listened, Vic, and I stopped. I didn't argue. This is a serviceman I just met 20 minutes before, and he's opening up with personal details of his life. This is God at work, everybody. This is revival taking place. He said, all of a sudden I stopped. I didn't want to argue with him anymore. And I got a little bit personal. How can I say this, Cindy? He says, I can tell you, Victor, that we stopped arguing, and I just wanted to love my wife, as far as being able to communicate her with words of love and that kind of thing. He was able to hold his wife and hug her and end the night on a good note. I know it's a little mushy there, everybody, but look, God was able to touch this man. He began to open up with me, and these were his words, and I told him I was going to use his words. He said, Vic, God impressed to me to fight for love. He impressed upon me to fight for love for my wife. And I said, you said it, because the enemy is trying to create divisions right now. He's trying to break up marriages, especially with all the stress and anxiety that's going on. But God is trying to teach you how to fight for love. But first, God's going to teach you how to fight for love, to love him first. I said, once you love him the right way, Daniel, you'll love your wife the right way. You love him the right way, you're going to be able to love everybody, including your wife, the right way. And there's another thing that he said. I asked him, what do you want us to pray for? What do you want us to pray for, Daniel? He said, I want you to pray for my wife, for my father, and for my brothers. And I want you to pray for me that my faith will grow. Ooh, when he said that, I said, Daniel, you are praying for the right things. You're asking for the – God's been dealing with you. He has, Victor. He has for weeks. And I'm trying to find him. Listen to this. Here's someone – we're praying for souls. So God sends the souls, and here is a man that's telling me all the right things. Victor, I'm looking for God. I just don't know how to find him. I'm trying to pray. I don't know how to pray. I'm trying to do the right thing, but if someone would lead me, mind you, the story's in the book of Acts, if a man would guide me by the hand, tell me about baptism, tell me about salvation, well, of course, then I began to go into that. I said, you know what? Did you hear me when I was out there with Cindy praying for you, Daniel? Did you hear me begin to speak in tongues? I heard that. The other guy that got me baptized a few weeks ago, he told me that at some point, that when I'm praying, something's going to come over me and I'm going to speak in tongues. I said, praise God, he's got you on the right track. I don't know his theology. I don't know his doctrine. Maybe Trinitarian. I don't know. But I began to open up Acts chapter 2. Cindy had told him about the book of Acts, and I told him the Acts 2:38 message, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And everyone, his eyes got big, and he says, Victor, I feel like crying right now. It's okay. You can cry. As we began to pray again, I began to get touched. I began to weep myself, and I began to speak in tongues. And he said, can I get on my knees and pray? He's asking me this. Can I get on my knees and pray? So there we are in the office at the church. He gets on his knees. I get on my knees, and I teach him how to repent, everyone. I teach him how to repent. We talked about turning around, everybody. The 180, to turn. That's right, the military thing. Repent, that means to turn from one direction, walk the other direction. We talked about baptism in Jesus' Jesus' name, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And everyone, this is where we ended it. I said, when you go home tonight, Daniel, I want you to go home. You're going to kneel by your bedside with your wife. You're going to hold her hand, and you're going to repent together. And this is how you're going to do it. I made it so simple, everyone. This is really a simple message of salvation. It's not complicated. The enemy wants us to think it's complicated. It's very simple. You're going to say, honey, wife, we're going to say sorry, Lord, for everything we've done in our past. Forgive us of all of our past failures, our sins. And forgive us, wash us with your blood. We want your love in our life. We want your Holy Spirit, etc., etc. And he responded to me, Victor, what you just said right now, I felt that. I felt what you just said. I'm going to do that with my wife tonight. Everyone, this is what God is doing. This didn't just happen by accident yesterday. It wasn't a coincidence. This has been in the making. As I told Daniel yesterday, there has been an appointed time for you, Daniel. God had a set time for you, an appointed time. Think about how important you are to God. How much he loves you. He set an appointment for you, and that kept going over in my mind yesterday as I was meeting with this young man. It was a powerful, powerful event. We were there for about an hour in the office, giving a mini Bible study, a prayer meeting. What a powerful, powerful thing that took place. So everyone, this is going to begin to take place as we begin to deal with people and talk with people, because they are ripe for the picking right now. There is so much that's going on in the world. That's how this whole thing started, as he was about to turn and walk away. You know, Victor, with all these things that are going on in the world right now, I just feel like something is going to happen. And as someone just sent me a text, Sister Sandra said, amazing, with 5 exclamation points. Make that 7 exclamation points. Anybody want to throw me a text, go right ahead and text me. I'm going to open up the lines here in just a minute. We're going to have you say something in just a minute. But here's what I want to say, everybody. God is working. It's not just Brother Vic. It is Sister Cindy, Sister Jessica. Praise God. We're already feeling the spirit of the anointing here in the conference room. Sister Alina, Sister Elisa, Sister Marge, Sister Sanders. Let's see who else is on the call. It's everybody that is part of this. And those who are not here, God is beginning to move. Why don't we just thank God right now? We're going to take a second to thank God. Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing. This is your work. Your handiwork. We are simply your vessels, Lord Jesus. Gracias, Señor. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing. Oh, you're going to begin to use your people. Use your people. Use your people. Use your people. This is your people. This is your church. These are your souls, Lord God. Well, thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Okay, let me move over. We're going to shift gears because we're moving. We're moving. We're going to be moving here. And we're going to read something that came through this morning for Brother Vic. This has been happening recently. Brother Vic has a Bible app. I hope you all do. And every now and, you get a verse that drops in the morning or midnight, as it does with Brother Vic, 11 p.m., whatever it is. John, I'm not going to even give you the reference because I want when preachers or people who talk about the Bible are not supposed to speak out of context. I'm purposely going to speak out of context this morning. There's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. Praise God. Thank you, ladies. Yes, yes, amen and amen. We're getting text messages coming in. I'm going to read this out of context on purpose because this is going to apply to any situation. The verse says, Jesus saith unto her, a lot of ladies here, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? I'm going to read it again. Jesus saith unto her, Jesus said unto the woman, said I not unto thee, didn't I tell you? Listen to this. Didn't I tell you that if thou wouldest believe, that if you would believe, that if you would be able to believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. If you would be able to believe, then you can and you will see the glory of God. My God, as I read this verse this morning, everyone, God began to speak to me again, ladies. How simple this is that the Lord is trying to put to us. Didn't I already tell you? How many times have I told you in the Word of God that if you would just be able to believe? See, this, the Lord is making it clear to us that he's given us the ability to believe. How? through the medium of faith, through the channel of faith, if we can turn that faith on, we are going to be able to believe in that thing. And once we are able to believe it, we're going to see the glory of God. Now that I shared that verse, let me go to the next verse. And now you're going to know what this context is all about. It doesn't matter what it is for. It's faith that's going to trigger belief, that's going to trigger the miracle. Here it is. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Okay, let's break this down. Real simple. Then they took away the stone. You know what I saw in my mind's eye when I heard that? Remember, this is all out of context. I didn't know what this was about yet. Then they removed the unbelief. Then they removed the doubt. Then they removed the fear. Then they removed the obstacle, whatever it is. The mountain, Sister Cindy, better. She gave me a better word than I came up with. Then they removed the mountain in your life. And once that thing was removed, oh, they removed the mountain where the dead was laid. Hey, that's a perfect allegory, a perfect parallel, because someone's dead. That's not just a little rock. That's a mountain. It's someone who's dead. This is a real miracle that is required. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. He's trying to explain to us, when we pray, the Lord's going to hear us, especially when we're praying with faith. Sister Cindy's feeling it because there's a need she has. We're going to get to that need in just a minute that she's going to visit in Orange County. There's a lot to this, everyone. Everyone has a need. There's a situation. It doesn't matter what it is, but God's going to remove that stone. We got to remove that stone. Verse 42. And I knew that thou heardest me. Here's Jesus, the man, talking to the Spirit, the Father, and as a model for us. It's real simple. And I knew, don't get confused. This is not God talking to himself. He's not schizophrenic. Lord, forgive me for making that comment, but you hear what I'm saying. And I knew that thou heardest me always. And I knew that you heard me always. You've always heard me, Lord. But I wonder within myself, is the Lord hearing me for this request? Because this God can do this request, but God can God really do the big one? God can move the little hill, but is he going to move that huge mountain? And I knew that you heard me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it. But for the sakes of the people that were by me, that's why I said it, Lord, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. I said it for their sake so that they... So it would trigger their belief, their faith. Okay? Now I'm going to go back to verse number 40. Jesus saith unto her, said I not... The verse that I read out of context, now it's going to make sense. Jesus saith unto her, didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you should see the glory of God? Everybody, whatever the need is, whatever the need is, I'm not preaching something else about another situation. It's about everything we're talking about. The miracle, and I made a note here. The Lord gave me this. Everything I just described to you are the ingredients for a miracle. I felt that this morning. I just finished describing to you the ingredients for a miracle. In this case, we're talking about a revival. That's a miracle. Evangelism. It's a miracle. Successful evangelism. The need that Sister Cindy has for her friend in Orange County, whatever situation in Elisa's life, Marge's life, Sister Sandra's life, Sister Janice's life, Sister Alina's life, Sister Jessica's life, whatever it might be, the needs, because the Lord knows we have personal situations, personal issues. The Lord's not ignoring that, but we're learning how to put first things first, and we honor him first. The Lord's going to give us what we need, but we just need to know how to go about it. These are the ingredients of a miracle for a miracle. Okay, let me put that aside. On that note, we talk about Brother Vic hearing some voices. Again, a little bit warm, everybody? You're good. Okay, Brother Vic's just moving around and screaming a little bit here. That's okay. I'm going to take a little drink of water before I choke here. Hold on. I'm excited, everybody. Can you tell? I am excited about what God is doing. There are some great things that are taking place. So, yes, the truth of the matter is Brother Vic's been hearing voices. Yes, it's true. He has. In the last couple of, when you hear that, you right away, okay, this guy, what's going on? Meds? Is he on meds? Does he need meds? Okay. And it's been happening. I shared this with Sister Cindy yesterday. It's been happening in the last few weeks, couple weeks. And my first reaction was, okay, Vic, that's, you know, when you hear that, you think, that I have heard that in the last few weeks, but I kind of push it away. I push it aside. Probably not something, you know, so just me. But now in the last few days, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not bragging here, but every morning or early in the morning, I've made it a good habit to get on my knees and pray very early in the morning, even if it's for a little while, 15, 20, 30 minutes, just for a little bit. And I just begin to do something in that prayer. And I believe the Lord's beginning to honor that. Why? Because, everyone, I'm hungry. See, the Lord wants us to be hungry. The Lord is not going to drop revival on someone's lap who's just praise. Hey, we're going to church. I'm praising God. I'm good. No, it's for someone who's going to push a little bit more, going to sacrifice a little bit more. That's right. It's in the heart, Sister Cindy said. So that's what we've been doing. We've been getting up a little bit early, pretty early, at some mornings, where you don't want to, but you're going to do it anyway. Because you want miracles in your personal life, but you want God to perform the miracle of revival in our church. And that's been happening. So in the last week or so, I've been hearing these. When I say hearing voices, what I mean by that is this. It's that sweet, subtle, gentle little voice where a word gets dropped in. A word gets dropped in. And I know some of the ladies have a big smile on their faces. They know what we're talking about. Praise God. You know, I think women are more spiritually sensitive than men. I've known my mama for all my life, and she's just very spiritually sensitive. I hope mama is not on the phone mad at me for confessing the truth here, but I've seen that growing up. Mama is just very spiritually sensitive, so I had a great role model in that. But I'm a guy. You know, men are tough. Man, we think with our brains, with women with our hearts, and we just know how to do it right. Well, the truth of the matter is this. We've got to have a spiritual, sensitive heart to be able to hear that voice of God. I feel the Holy Ghost just saying that. And so in the last several days, I've been hearing kind of like a word, just a little word or a word or two. Sometimes it's a name. And I'm thinking, well, what is that? Oh, okay, that must be an old, ancient name in the Old Testament. You know, I grew up in the Word of God and Bible quizzing. It's probably just rolling around in my subconscious. But this time I'm listening. So yesterday morning, yes, it was yesterday morning, as soon as I finished praying, early in the morning, everyone, it's cold, so I jumped back in bed. I'm just being honest with you. I was about to jump back in bed for a little bit just to warm up, you know. And as I was doing that, the word came to my mind again. And I thought, oh, my goodness, what's that word? Everybody, it wasn't a long, eloquent, fancy word. If it would have been, I would have just listened to it the first time. Like an old name in the Bible, like Eliezer or Abiathar or Jehoiakim or some long name in the Bible, it would have got my attention. But you know what the name that came to my mind, everybody? It was a three-letter word. It wasn't even a full word. Ner. Yeah, you look at me like I'm crazy now, right? Ner. And I thought, wait a minute, this is not even a full syllable. This doesn't even have the ending consonant. You know, like nerd, nerf, something. But ner? Ner? I said, oh, come on, this is just me. What am I thinking here? Well, I couldn't lay down until I looked it up. So I looked it up, ladies. Anyone? I'm going to open this up. Hold on a second. I'm going to open the ladies up in just a moment, but I want to make sure they're still there. Hello, Mama, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Stay on the line. We're going to go into it right now. So I looked up the word, the definition for ner, N-E-R, because I thought I was going crazy at this point. And I read it, and at first I was kind of dismayed, everyone, because ner in the Bible, it meant, you know, as far as the practical world, there was some technical definitions. It meant nothing to me. But then I went to the definitions of the Bible. Sure enough, there was a man by the name of Ner in the Bible. How I remembered that, I don't know. But here's the thing. It looks like he was one of the sons or nephews of Kish. Who was Kish? The father of Saul. You know, that became King Saul. And right away I thought, ooh, this is going to be negative. This is going to be bad. I don't know if I want to read this. It had to do with one of the sons of Kish, who, Kish being the father of Saul, I mean, he may have been a brother or a cousin to Saul. Not quite sure there. And I thought, okay, well, that doesn't mean much, I don't think. But then I went to the definition of ner, and here's what the definition of ner was. The definition of ner means a light or a lamp And I got more to it last night. A lamp with a little colon, semicolon. And the second definition is it means new or newly tilled land. Let me say that again. New or newly tilled land. Now, some of you that are on the call may be looking at, thinking about, Brother Vic, what is he talking about? You see, in the last year, the last 6 months to a year, we began something that started in the group here about tilling the soil, tilling the land. Sister Cindy even brought up the word to toil the soil. And when Sister Cindy brought up the thing about toil, I thought, well, that's kind of corny. It's not toiling the land. It's tilling the land. It's not toiling the land. She told me last night, she confessed that even her husband told her, it's not toiling the land, Cindy. Get it right. It's tilling the land. Nope. There's something to it. Because the definition of toil means to work extremely hard or incessantly, continuously. Don't give up. Continue to work that soil. We looked it up last night, Sister Cindy did. And it meant to work the soil, to dig it up, to rake it, to do whatever you got to do to work the soil. But as to the definition of ner, N-E-R, it means a lamp or newly tilled land. And this morning when I woke up, it clicked. It came together for me. A light or a lamp that's going to guide us to the land that needs to be tilled. It's a light or a lamp, I feel the Holy Ghost, that's going to shine the path, because there's a lot of soil out there. Are we going to just go randomly anywhere? Nope. We got to be guided, and that lamp or that light is going to guide us into that place that we need to go to be effective and efficient, to till and toil in the right soil or the right land. Praise God. Praise God. Okay. Everyone, this is what we're going to do right now. Well, I know we hit the 12 o'clock mark. We're going to pray right now for the next 5 or 7 minutes. We're going to pray for a little while, just a few minutes. But I really want us to get into the Holy Ghost. We've learned how to do this. You've heard the testimonies I've shared, and I did that for a reason, to inspire you, to motivate you, that God is already working in us, with us, through us. He's going to help us. Okay? And in this thing that happened to me just yesterday, where God gave me a clear word and an understanding of what He's wanting us to do, the ladies told me already they want to get out there. They want to do a prayer walk. They want to till that soil. I'm going to open up these lines. We're going to hear Elisa's voice. We're going to hear Sister Sandra's voice if she's there. We're going to hear Sister Marge's voice. Ladies, can you hear me? Go ahead and speak up, ladies, on the call.
Yes, yes. I love it. I love it. I want more of these.
And all right, praise God. Sister Mark, Sister Mark.
Hallelujah.
I'm here.
And Sister Sanders, are you on the line? All right, it's okay. We got about 5, 6, 7 of us already on the call and in person. Let's begin to pray right now that the Lord would give us that faith, turn on that faith in us after the word that we've heard, because the Lord has given us directive. Mandate, a mission to go till and toil that land. Praise God. Go ahead and pray for several minutes. It could be 5, 6, 7 minutes, but let's get into the Holy Ghost. We know how to do that, ladies. Lord Jesus, we're asking
Lord. We're praying, Lord. I'm asking the Lord to use me here, these people. He did send me here for a reason. I'm not here just to be here. No.
This is your harvest. These are your souls, Lord God. In the name of Jesus.
Everyone, let's take a moment to pray for Daniel and his wife, Brianda. Daniel and Brianda, these are the man that I met yesterday who needs God. He's hungry for God and he needs salvation. Let's pray for them right now, Lord Jesus. We're praying for Daniel and Brianda and their family, Lord God, that you would continue to give them a fresh salvation. That you put a hunger and a thirst for your truth, not just salvation, but for your truth, Lord God. Jesus, help us to be the vessel, Lord God, the hands that are going to help him and his wife, Lord. In the name of Jesus, God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
The work already, Lord. You're preparing the minds. I said, you're already preparing the minds, the hearts, the souls, the spirits of the people that we're going to go pray for on the street as we go on this prayer walk, Lord Jesus. We want you to send your angels before us, Lord God. Break the bonds, break the chains, break the ropes, Lord, and bind the minds, bind the hearts, souls of people, Lord God, that are in these areas. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Victor, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Victor?
Oh, gracias. Gracias, Señor. Gracias. Usted está haciendo la obra.
Victor.
I see you're doing the work, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Can you hear me, Victor? Can you hear me?
Jesus. All this power in the name of Jesus. Power in your precious blood, Lord Jesus, to heal the minds, to wash away the sins, Lord God, to prepare the souls and the minds and the hearts of the people that we are going to be praying about. In the name of Jesus.
Victor, can you hear me, Victor?
Hallelujah.
Can you hear me?
Hallelujah. Yeah, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Victor?
Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Everyone, let's go ahead and thank God. Let's give God the praise, the honor, and the glory for what he's already begun to do. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for going before us. We thank you for going before us, Lord Jesus, and beginning to deliver the minds and soften the hearts of that soil so we can till that land, till that soil the way that you want us to do it, where you want us to do it, how you want us to do it. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, praise God. I'm going to ask the ladies that are on the call, I'm going to ask Elisa, go ahead and speak up, Mama. Is there something
Victor,
you want to share?
Victor, yes, Elisa, yes. Please, can you hear me?
Can you hear me? We hear you.
Please pray for Isabel, y por Chuy, Jesús, su esposo, y el papá de Isabel se llama Albert. He comes every Saturday here, and the Lord will touch their hearts and minds while I'm going to be talking to them. I live with them.
I know, Mama. I know.
Por favor.
Okay. So Isabel and?
Jesús y Albert, her father.
Jesús y Isabel. Okay, very good, Mama. We're going to pray for them. And then, Marge, are you on the line, Marge?
I'm here.
Is there any prayer request or anything that you want to say after what you've heard today? Anything at all? It could be 10 seconds. It could be a minute, whatever you like.
I want to share something that a coworker and I were talking about this morning real quick. She said that she wanted to tell me a story that would bring me joy, and so I was like, oh, okay, go ahead.
Okay.
And she said, this is what she wrote, one of my sisters has been an atheist for years. I constantly prayed for her and that she would come to know God. So I get a text from her saying, can I ask you a weird question? And I told her, sure, what's up? She said, do you pray? And I said, every day. She said, but how? And I explained that praying is a special moment between you and God and that there is no specific way to pray. Just talk to him as though he is your friend. And I guess recently she had COVID and she thought she was going to die. So So during her time in isolation, she caught herself talking to someone, and she said, it helped me. So now every night before I go to bed, I have been praying. And my coworker was telling me that her heart has never been so full, because she said anytime she would try to talk to her sister about God, there was just no question. Her answer every time was, there is no God, there is no God. And she said, it's amazing how he never fails to answer prayers. And I just started praying when she was messaging me that. Like, I told her, this is a blessing, not just for your sister, but for you, for me. And I asked her if I could share this today on the call. And she said, of course, because we agreed that to God be the glory. I just wanted to share that.
Praise God. What is her name, Marge?
My coworker's name is Stephanie. I don't know her sister's name.
It's all right. It's all right. Hey, this is a great testimony. This is what we want to hear. We want to hear testimonies and prayer requests. This is what this is all about. So this is exciting.
Yes.
And let's see. Sister Sanders, are you on the line, Sister Sanders? Hold on. Are you on the line, Sister Sanders? Okay. Are you on the line, Sister Sanders?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is there anything that you want to bring up, a prayer request or any word on everything we've heard today? Anything at all? Feel free.
I'd like to share a praise report.
Amen.
One of my husband's daughters has been out of communication with me. She's had some areas of some hard feelings. But I want to give God the praise. I have been praying for her for several months. And recently she's been reaching out to me. And I know it's the hand of God working on the hearts of individuals. So continue to pray for her. Her name is Alicia. Thank you.
Her name is Alicia?
No, her name is Lisa.
Lisa. Okay, so there's Lisa. We're going to be praying for Marge's co-worker. Don't know her name, but we're going to pray for her. I think there was a co-worker. And then, Sister Lena, anything?
I could share something.
Yes, Sister Lena wants to share something as well.
So I witnessed to my co-worker. It's funny how, you know, we have the opportunity to do that and witness to our coworkers or people at the grocery store, wherever it is that you're at, you can do that. But I was talking to my coworker, and she showed up to work one day, and I'm not going to get into too much details because it's her personal life, but she came in and kind of said something had happened at home. She said, I did something really dumb I shouldn't have done. And I said, what happened? And so she kind of opened up to me and really shared with me in detail what it was that had happened and how she felt bad about it. And so I was just talking to her, and I noticed when other people would come around, she kind of felt like she had to get quiet. She felt more comfortable talking to me. And so I don't know what came over me, some kind of boldness, the Holy Ghost, whatever. I just said, you know what we do? And I did this example that I've used before when I talked to somebody else one time. I said, you know what we do? I said, this is our problem. And I grabbed the hand sanitizer because that's all I had. So I grabbed the hand sanitizer and I said, this is our problem. And I held it up to her. And I said, this is what we do with it. And I put it close to my chest. And I said, we hold on to it. I said, but God doesn't want us to hold on to it. I said, you know what we're supposed to do? I said, this is what we're supposed to do. And I grabbed the hand sanitizer. And I didn't really slam it, but I kind of like, firmly placed it down on top of the label printer. And I said, this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to give it to God. And I even got emotional.
Good.
And I said, you know, I had my eyes were kind of watering. And I said, you know, because I can't do it, God. I can't hold on to it. And she kind of looked at me wide-eyed, kind of like, whoa. And there was people around, there was other employees there, and they're just kind of looking at me like, what's this girl doing? But I can tell she felt the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And I believe that we're going to have so many opportunities like that where we can witness to people and talk to people about God and just let the Holy Ghost take over. So, yeah.
Hermana Alina, thank you for that. And you could feel the faith and the boldness in her voice as she was recounting the story. And I could just imagine Sister Lena getting into it with the Holy Ghost witnessing. And is that like the first time something like that has happened? Or it's probably happened a few other times?
Not like that.
Not like that. So it sounds to me like each time it's getting stronger, bolder, more assertive, and that's what I was talking about at the very beginning of this whole meeting, everyone. It's not about one person, Brother Vic, in this case. It's everybody. God wants to use...
She did not care. Like, a boldness
came on her. She did not care who heard her. Sister Alina just didn't care who heard. That's right. She wanted to make sure she gave that faith, that boldness to... What's her name?
Yvonne. So,
okay, in a moment we're going to go over all the names again, okay? Yvonne. And Sister Jessica, anything at all of a prayer request or a word?
Last week when we were sick, kind of a testimony, I guess, a little testimony, planting seeds in people, I guess. Last week when we were sick, you know, I work in healthcare, and everyone that I work with were spread across the United States. And they were all concerned, is it COVID? And, you know, keeping, you know, my project manager updated, you know, we just have kind of cold-like symptoms. Whether it's COVID or not, we don't know. This is before we could get the test done. But my project manager checked in with me every single day. Do you have your results? Do you have your results? So finally I got my results, and it was negative, and I was able to tell her it was negative. But during this time, this waiting period, she started asking me, well, do you go out? Do you go, you know, to the store? Where do you think you picked it up from? I said, you know, it's really hard to tell, you know. I just told her, you know, my sister's sick, her whole family's sick, but she's married to an RN, so they contracted it that way. And I told her, we do go to the grocery store, we do go to Walmart, you know, we mask up everything. And then something prompted me to tell her that our church gathers and we social distance and we do the whole nine yards. And when I brought that up, she was like, yes. That's great, you know, and that's not the response I was expecting to hear from her, to be honest. We're afraid, yes, we are absolutely afraid. But when I began to open that door and I felt prompted to open that door, she received it and she said, yes, do not live in that fear. And she's like, that's what it's going to take. And so I feel like there's a door open now with my project manager that I never saw being open. And we started talking about God. We started talking about how this pandemic has everyone in such fear. And it's very real. We all know it's very real. But people are gripped with fear. And so that was kind of a really neat thing that happened last week with her. And I feel like we're on a different level now because of it. And it's a God thing, definitely a God thing. And then one more thing is God's been dealing with me personally. I've been feeling brokenness. And I've just been feeling so broken. And I believe it's a God thing because I believe He's allowing me to feel it. Because when people come in, that's how they're coming in, is broken. And we need to be able to relate to them. And yes. And feel where they're at.
Yes.
And I thank God for allowing me to feel that. I do. It's developing me.
Yes.
And it's definitely something that I'm taking to heart. And it's not that we're going through anything personally. It's just this spirit has rested on me of brokenness. And I know it's of God. I know it is. And it's to be able to help those who do come in. So that's all I had.
And that was great, Sister Jessica. The Bible says that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and in the fellowship of His sufferings. And when Sister Jessica shared that with us earlier in the week about brokenness, yes, there's some things that sometimes we go through some hard, severe trials and tests in life, and it breaks us, and it makes us, brings us down to a point where we feel vulnerable, weak, but it forces us to really trust in Him, to place our faith in Him. So God's doing great things. Thank you for that, Sister Jessica. And last but not least, we have Sister Taff back here, who I believe has something good to share. I know that there's a need that she might bring that up as well, but here you go, Sister.
I was listening to Sister Jessica, and I was thinking, when I think of brokenness, I think of being pressed, and I think of being molded on the potter's wheel. And I've always been told, you want to stay on the potter's wheel, not in the potter's field, because when you're in the potter's field, God's done with you. So if you feel that feeling that you're constantly being worked on, that's a good thing. That's where you want to stay. And when I think about being pressed, I think about anointing oil. And I think that the more you're pressed, the more the anointing's there. So that's where you want to stay. That's powerful, Sister Jessica. I just want to share the other day, I had to check on some life insurance. John and I are getting older. So I had to check on where our life insurance was at. And I thought we had 5 more years of it left, or 4 more years, but we actually have 13 more years. So me and John were like, okay, we'll be 75, 76 by then, so this is good. But the lady was telling me that our premium would go up to $3,000 a month after that 31st. And so I told her, I said, you know what? I put my faith in God. I said, there is no way that I'm paying that kind of money, because I was asking her, like, you know, what happens when it goes to 31st day? And I said, nope, I'll put my faith in God. And she goes, I like the way you think. And just like Brother Vic said, I felt a door open. And so I started sharing with her. I ended up, I mean, it just went from one round to another round to another round. And she's like, whoa. She said, I was just in church the other day on Sunday, and they said, you could go to church your whole life and not even know who God is. And I just opened that door. I said, you know what? I don't know if you're allowed to take my number. This woman's in Texas, but I knew without a doubt that she felt the Holy Ghost. And I said, there's more. Told her to find a place to pray. Told her about Acts, read the book of Acts. Everything I could think of to tell her on top of my testimonies, I told her. So I feel like there's a world out there that's hurting. And it's like, if we can just find one little wedge inside that door that we can put our foot in, like the Jehovah Witnesses used to do when I was young, you know, you go to shut the door and they put their foot there. So it's like, we got to look for that little wedge of that door open so we can do it. And then as you do it, my mom shared something with me yesterday. I've really been praying for God to teach me how to work an altar. So my mom was saying, you're looking at somebody and they're praying, and you hear something like Brother Vic says, because I'm like him, you know, first thing you're thinking, that's you. But she said, say it. Because all you're doing is you're praying with somebody. Say it. If you see something break, then you know you're on the right path. So that kind of stuck with that, just like really just encouraged me. But also, the same way with the door open. That door opens, you say one thing, you can feel. You can feel when God comes right on the scene, and you're like, okay, this door is open. So now it's like, okay, God, what do I tell them? And it's just, I just feel there's a hungry people out there, hurting people, fearful people that are looking for someone who puts on their peace, their boots of peace every day, that they can take it out there and they can share the gospel.
Praise God. Hey, everybody.
Thank you.
Me, I've been sitting here listening to Sister Cindy and everyone else that has spoken, and I got to just say, I feel such a peace. I feel rest. A restfulness, not a restlessness, but a restfulness, if that's the right word applicable for this. I just feel this joy, this satisfaction, this, I don't even know how to put it, this good feeling in what is taking place. The Lord is, something is settling in. That's what it is. Something is beginning to settle into us. It's coming from the Lord, an understanding on how to do this. Because we can have the directive in front of, okay, go talk to people, go. Yeah, but come on, between here and there, how do we do it? How are we going, especially in the situation that we find us in? You know what the answer is? The Holy Ghost. It's the oil that Sister Cindy talked about. God is going to begin to apply that oil into the minds, the hearts, the souls of people, just like he sent that young man yesterday. I didn't have to do anything, folks. I just had to listen to the voice of God. I just had to listen to the leading of the Spirit. But in order for me to do that, I got to be in the Spirit. Look, I can go on and on and on. I'm going to stop talking right now because I'm feeling so many things, hearing so many things in my mind right now. But we got to go to work.
Amen.
The definition, toil. Sister Alina's pushing us right now. She's going to toil and till. Listen, toil, to work hard and to work incessantly. We've been working incessantly, folks. We've been doing this for a long time. Maybe a little bit here, a little there, but we've been working. So we're going to go ahead, and I'm going to leave the call on. I'm going to take the recording off now. I'm going to take it off. But, ladies, I want you to join us on our walk, ladies that are on the call. You're going to feel us, hear us as we're out there walking. We may only be walking for 10, 15, 20 minutes, but we're going to get some exercise in. I'm going to take the recording.